This is Dr. Don Wilton.
I wonder if there's a parent here today, you've got a sore heart because you've got a son or daughter that every time you talk to them, they just downright rude to you. Just forget all the nice words like sassy and back talk and all the rest. They are just downright ugly to you as a parent. Wonder if there's a mother here today, you've got a son or daughter, and that kid that you love just treats you like you come out of the bottom of an oil well in South Louisiana. It breaks your heart, doesn't it? The
Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist and pastor, and today taking us to a story we may know or may think we know with some new insights from Joseph. There's been musicals written around him, movies about him. Joseph tells us a great deal of what it's like to be a man of God, even in times of discouragement, and to watch God work nonetheless. Again, as we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That number again, 866-899-9673, or online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to connect with you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Today we're going to be studying an incredible part of God's story on the life of Joseph. I'm going to just ask before I even open my Bible, would you be willing to be sold into slavery in order to become God's prime minister? I'm not even suggesting that Joseph necessarily had a choice, but right now your life may be in the pits, and God has got a plan for you. So I want you to open your Bibles this morning, by whatever means, in Genesis, here in the sanctuary. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. And then I'm going to ask us all to stand in honor of God's story. Let's stand together. As soon as you find that stand, Genesis chapter 37. Here's what our message is going to be this morning. Are you ready for this? Seeing ourselves in Joseph. The Bible, this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, presents two levels to us. One is the upper story. When you read the Bible, we read about God and what God does from God's perspective. We live on the lower story. We're on earth. Don't you love the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, the lower story, as it is in heaven, the upper story. So I'm going to read to you, we're going to see ourselves in Joseph. This is like looking into a mirror. And what I have done is I have extrapolated seven major things that will require at least 5 hours a point to get through. So I know you're all praying for me this morning, aren't you? All right, I want to read to you just a few excerpts. The verses that I'm going to read to you actually are going to correlate with what I believe God has put into my heart. God spoke to me. I sat down and pored over this word and prayed, and I said, Lord, please give me a word to say to my people. God put this in my heart. God said this to me. I'm just passing it on. I just want to tell you what God told me. He gave me 7 points, affirmations. And when God spoke to me, because this is such a long passage all about Joseph, God was saying to me, Don, this is what I want you to see where you are on your lower level. This is what I did in heaven. This is what I caused. This is who I am. This is what happened to Joseph, but this is where you fit in. So let me read it. Chapter 37, verse 1. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan, and these are the generations of Jacob. Go to verse 12, chapter 37, verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. So evidently the brothers all went out and they took care of dad's business, right? All right, I'm turning my page over. I've got to find all these places. Chapter 39, verse 6. Chapter 39 and verse 6. I'm going to read a few verses here. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, that is Pharaoh, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Come and lie with me." Look at verse 8. But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Oh, let's move on. Let's go to chapter 39 and verse 6. I beg your pardon. Chapter 39, where am I? And verse 21. Verse 21. Don't you love this? This God's story is just so vast. There's so much. All right, chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Anyone today feeling abandoned? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. All right, let's go to chapter 41. Chapter 41. Verse 38, chapter 41, verse 38, chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are." All right, let's just do... Let's see, chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us so that we may live and not die." All right, one more. I promise you one more. All right, go all the way to chapter 50. Chapter 50, verse 1. It's the last one I'm going to give to you today. Chapter 50 and verse 1. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. May the Lord write this word in our hearts. Thank you. Please be seated. Love the story of Joseph. Love the story of Joseph. I hadn't planned to say this, but I'm going to say it. When I landed in America many, many years ago, over three decades ago, we left all our family behind. And I sat the first Monday I was in America, I sat in a seminary classroom, and the professor opened up and read the story of Joseph to us. And I went back to our little one-bedroom deficiency apartment to my new bride, and I looked at her, and I made the worst statement anybody could ever make, and you just forgive me for repeating it. But I said to her, "Duckling, God told me today that I'm a type of Joseph, and today all our family live with us." Seeing ourselves in Joseph, you and I are right here. I'm going to show you why. This story of Joseph, what God tells us, affirms seven things. Number one, that parents are God's instruments of blessing. That's the first thing that the story of Joseph affirms, that parents are God's instruments of God's blessing. You'll notice that I began with Jacob. I didn't begin with Joseph. This is about Joseph, but chapter 37 begins with Jacob. I thought it was about Joseph. So how are you doing, Mom and Dad? This story of Joseph affirms that parents are God's instruments through their children that God gives them of producing untold blessing on others. How much time are you spending with your children? What are you doing with them? What's more important for you as a parent, that your child make the all-star team or that they grow up knowing Jesus? Do you know how many parents today would much rather that their children play a ball game than go to church? Now I'm messing with you. I'm messing with a lot of you. Some of you are spending your whole life bringing up your children, doing great things, but they have no eternal value. You've got no spiritual backbone. When those children are in your home, some of you, your children are as young as 11, 12, 13, and yet you still don't exert your parental authority and right as a parent to make certain that their priorities are in order. You are teaching them to celebrate the wrong things. What would you rather have? Your kids grow up and be nowhere spiritually? What's going to give you the greatest joy in your life? There's something here about Jacob. I really believe if you were to look at Jacob's life and you were to get to the end of his life, you will find out that that man, with all the difficulties and the struggles and the pitfalls and everything that he went through, because he went through some serious hard stuff, the greatest joy in his life was seeing what happened to all his children. That's point number one. The story of Joseph affirms that parents are God's instruments. These baby dedications, some of you have now, you're just not interested in dedicating your baby to the Lord. It's too much trouble. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was dedicated into the temple. The end of the next service here, I'm going to be dedicating another. We do this every week. You know what a baby dedication is, according to the scriptures? It's number one, mom and dad dedicating themselves to the Lord, saying, Lord, help me. I need a lot of wisdom. And boy, do we need wisdom. If any of you know how to do it properly, let us know, please, especially when they're teenagers. And the second thing is taking that baby and saying, Lord, this baby is your gift to us. That's why I commend so many of you who are adopting babies. I'm telling you, I have such incredible respect and love for people who go out and adopt children. Wow, wow, what an investment you're making. Number two, here's the second one. Joseph's story affirms that some siblings need a lot of prayer, love, and time. You didn't think I'd say that, did you? Remember now, we're looking at ourselves in Joseph's story. Joseph's story, what this does for me, it affirms that some siblings, some brothers and sisters, some children that we have need a lot of prayer, love, and time. I wish I had time to discuss these brothers of Joseph. They were not a happy bunch for many years. I don't know hardly of a family. I don't know hardly of a family in which you can have two or three children that invariably there is always, it seems to me, one of those kids who just don't seem to get it. And that's what it is in your family, isn't it? Don't give up. God is not through. Be encouraged. They're those three ingredients. Prayer. It's tough to pray when you want to go up there and say, let me tell you, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to wrap something around your neck three times. You know, in the sixth time, you have to go and bail them out of jail is a different story. And all the junk that some of our children can get into. I'm talking about kids who come out of some of the best homes you've ever seen. I'm talking out of the best homes you've ever seen. Well, go and study these brothers. Don't give up, folks. Don't stop praying. Don't stop loving. Don't stop giving them time. Watch what God does. I wish that I could stand here today and say to you, you know, I'm just going to pray a blessing upon you right now, and all your kids are going to suddenly just fall out of bed on Sunday morning and say, I want to go to church today, and all of them are going to just love the Lord, and all of them are never going to take another drug, and they're not going to mess with alcohol, and they're not going to go and steal something, and they're not going to this, and whatever it is they're doing. Sometimes it's just a matter of an attitude. I wonder if there's a parent here today, you've got a sore heart because you've got a son or daughter that every time you talk to them, they just downright rude to you. Just forget all the nice words like sassy and back talk and all the rest. They are just downright ugly to you as a parent. Wonder if there's a mother here today, you got a son or daughter, and that kid that you love just treats you like you come out of the bottom of an oil well in South Louisiana. It breaks your heart, doesn't it?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with more of today's message, Seeing Ourselves in Joseph, in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we are excited to connect you with God's Word on a daily basis, both in the broadcast form and the written form. If you're not receiving the Daily Encouraging Word email, you're missing out on a great blessing. I use it kind of as a jump start to my quiet time. You'll be blessed by it as well. Just a moment in God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton and some insight that will fuel you for the entire day. The email goes out about 5:45 or so Eastern every morning, and you can sign up right now on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Sign up for the daily email. You can even request a hard copy if you'd like. One we put out quarterly to store in your Bible or maybe over your visor if you choose to use your quiet time during carpool line or whatever it might be. You can also text the word daily, that's right, daily, to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll be signed up before you know it. Again, just text the word daily to 30500 and we'll get you signed up today. Now back to today's message, Seeing Ourselves in Joseph with Dr. Don Wilton.
I mean, just study these brothers. You'll see yourself in the life of Joseph. Number three. Third issue, Joseph's story affirms that temptation lurks around every corner. Every corner. Can I just say, temptation lurks around every corner. That's what I read to you in chapter 39. By the way, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, at least not according to what we're reading here. Here comes temptation. Temptation is no respecter of persons, because the devil has got you on my number. He doesn't want us to serve as God's prime minister. He doesn't want you to be a productive parent. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to break up your witness. He wants to break down your character. He wants you to stop going to church. I tell you, there's some ways he'll do it. That's why you better be very careful how you deal with money. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful how you deal with members of the opposite sex. Your attitude. Any of you men got a roving eye? Gentlemen, look at me. Don't try and find your keys somewhere. And you think your wife doesn't know it? You're breaking her heart. Everywhere you go, your roving eye. And you're destroying the life of that lady that loves you with all of her heart. Stop it. You're playing with fire, and you'll get so burned. I've never met a man who has fallen to this kind of temptation that's got up later on and said, man, I'd do that again in a New York second. It'll destroy your life. And there may be some of you right now, you're listening to me right now, and you're right on the edge, man. You're going to the office every day, and you're playing with fire with somebody in your office. Stop it, my friend. Stop it right now. Talk to the Lord and stop it. Temptation lurks around every corner. It's not about temptation. It's about what you do with it. And James says, resist the devil. And what's the rest of that verse? He will flee from you. Oh, sorry, I thought this was about Joseph. I'm getting way off track here. I mean, happened to Joseph. It couldn't happen to any of us. It's happening every day in Spartanburg. Do you know that? Every day. Be careful how you talk and be careful how you conduct yourself and be careful where you go. Temptation lurks around every corner. Number four, I love number four in Joseph's story, seeing ourselves in Joseph. Joseph's story affirms, number four, that no prison can hold the righteous forever. No prison can hold the righteous forever. Now, this is a great story here, folks. It's absolutely amazing. I cannot get this over. I love that chapter 39 and verse 21. I should imagine if I had a favorite verse in the story of Joseph, this would be the one. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. May I ask a question here? What does your prison right now look like? You know, you don't have to actually be behind bars and in handcuffs to be behind bars and in handcuffs, right? And I just love that. God just showed me as I was studying this, that no prison can hold the righteous forever. Yeah, you might be in that prison. I'm telling you, God has not left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And He loves you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor, even in the midst of his prison experience. Number five, that God can speak through dreams and visions. Here's a great point, that God can speak. When you see your life through the life of Joseph, for me, God affirmed something to me, that God can speak through dreams and visions. God speaks in so many ways. He speaks through our friendships, and He speaks through our spouse, and He speaks through our children. He speaks through the challenges of life. He speaks through the difficulties, our heartaches. He speaks when we go to sleep at night and we dream. He speaks giving us a fresh focus. I'm absolutely convinced God spoke to me in dreams and visions this past summer. I'm convinced of it. Now, that's a very cheeky thing to say, you know? I mean, And He does that with all of us. God speaks to me watching a football game, and God can speak to me sitting in the bathtub. You know, I don't sit in the tub. My wife does. She always wants a tub. I've never been able to explain it. Give me a jolly good shower. I mean, if you're a man and you sit in a tub, I want to meet you, brother. Real men don't do tubs. So just take back whatever it is I said about God doesn't speak to men in the tub. Number six. Isn't this fun studying the Word of God together? Can someone just say amen? Let's give God a hand this morning. You know, this is the best fun in the world, folks. I'm telling you, this studying God's story. Come and join us, man. Get on board. All right, where am I? Number six. I had to write these things down. I had so many of them. I try to remember it most of the time. Guess I've been sitting in the tub, haven't I? Anyway. I can just see 5,000 tweets went out just a minute ago. Okay, number six. Ready for this, quickly. That God is at work in all things. That's the sixth affirmation that God spoke to my heart about in the life of Joseph. That God is at work in all things. Chapter 42 and verse 1, time has gone by, a famine comes into the land of Canaan, and there's food in Egypt. And guess who got the food there? The son who got sold into slavery by a band of brothers who don't know anything about anyone. And the father's looking around because he's a father. He wants to provide for his family. They're all starving to death. And someone says, there's food in Egypt. God is at work in all things. One of the greatest verses ever, Romans 8:28. We know that God is working all things together for the good of those that love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Friends, let's get to the point where we recognize that in defeat and in victory, God is working all things together. All things. And then one more, and I close with this, because this is my favorite point. I had to get through seven, even though it's the perfect number. Number seven, Joseph's story affirms that a life devoted is a life blessed. A life devoted to the Lord is a life blessed. You know, I love that chapter 50. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Ah, he has a whole lifespan. A life devoted to the Lord is a life blessed. Isn't that great? So, do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you given your life to Him? You want to be blessed? God blesses us. He wants to bless us. And it begins when we trust Him as our Savior and Lord. A life devoted to God is a life blessed by God. It's not perfect. It's not free of headaches and challenges and this and that the next. No, it's a blessed life. It's just a blessed life. It comes from inside out. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted Him? Have you given your life to Him? I invite you to give your heart to Jesus today. The search is over. This is it. I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to commit your life. I'm asking you to recommit your life. Get a hold of your wife, your husband, and say, this is it.
Perhaps you've heard words like that from Dr. Don before or for other ministers, but today is different. Today is the day to respond. Our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, will be back in just a moment for more thoughts, but I pray you would jot this number down and know that when you're ready to talk, when you're ready to pray with someone, we are here for you. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather use your keyboard, let's go keyboard to keyboard together at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And as promised, more from Dr. Don now.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
The number again for more information is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or let's connect online at theencouragingword.org.